Morning, everybody. Morning, members of the body of Christ. It's a great morning this morning. Our subject this morning is going to be thoughts on judgment. As Tim read this morning in Philippians 1:9, and this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. This is a very vast subject in the Bible. I think the word judgment, the word judge is in there 280 some times, and the word judge is in there another 200 and some times. So this is a very big subject in the Bible, and more than I'm going to touch on today. We're going to talk about a lot, so I hope you didn't have a big breakfast because you're going to have a lot to digest today. I'm going to throw a lot at you, but just take notes and pick out what you can. I hope you can pick out a few things. Let us begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your truth. We pray that this lesson will glorify you and your Son and the Holy Spirit and will edify the members of the body of Christ in knowledge and all judgment. Amen. This is a word that we probably hear and use every day. You probably made several judgments already today, just in the morning we've had. So I'm going to have more questions than answers, I think, on this topic. And Peter's done a great job of teaching you about resurrections and judgments. So hopefully we'll pick out some things today that will help you. If I can get my little clicker to work here. Hello? Isn't technology wonderful? Okay. So, in the context of the Bible, what comes to mind when you think of judgment? Well, before we had Bibles, what did people see about judgment? This is Michelangelo's painting on the wall of the Sistine Chapel. I was there in 2006. And if you have never read the Bible, and this is what you saw about judgment, there's a lot to take in there. I don't know what all that means. There are several depictions of judgment. This is probably a Catholic one. It has the Virgin Mary and Joseph and Mary, the Virgin and Jesus. And it has the people in heaven there around the top. And then we have purgatory over here. And we have hell down here. So that's probably a Catholic version of judgment. But in Hebrews 10:30 and 31, it says, "And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." So I think a lot of people fear judgment. And it seems to be a dreadful thing. You may or may not know that this is the verse that our form of government was based on in America. Our three branches of government. For the Lord is our judge, the judicial branch. The Lord is our lawgiver, the legislative branch. The Lord is our king, the executive branch. And he will save us. Well, we've gotten a long way from that today, haven't we? I think our Department of Justice is now called the Department of Injustice. Or some have called it the Department of Just Us. So here's a thought on judgment. How has the word hell, as interpreted in the English in the Bible, instead of the word the grave for Sheol, how does that affect the thought on judgment? What if the word hell was never in the Bible? That would make a big difference on how people would understand judgment. And that's a word that should not be in the scriptures, according to my studies. How has the misuse of the word church for ecclesia instead of the called out ones affect the understanding of judgment in the Bible? Because as it is, tradition has one universal church, where in the scriptures, if you rightly divide the ecclesias in the scriptures, there's different judgments according to each calling out. So that would make a difference. Now, there are Hebrew words and Greek words that are translated judge or judgment in the Bible. And dun would be to rule. Paliel would be a judge in the Hebrew. Mishpat is a verdict or a sentence. And shephat is to condemn or punish. In the Greek, we have krima, which is decision or damnation. Crisis or krisis is a decision or separating out. That's where we get our word crisis, of course. Krino means to establish or decide to try, ordain, or condemn. And criterion, a rule of judging, that's where we get criteria or criterion. And kritikos is a discerner. That might be the word critic in our language. So keep those words in mind, as some of those we'll talk about in a minute, like separating out. But a good portion of the judgment in the Bible is about man judging man, if you think about it. Matthew 7:1, and Luke has another version of this, but Jesus says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." 1 Corinthians 4:3 says, "But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self." This is Paul talking or writing in 1 Corinthians. Now that word, man's judgment, there in that verse, that word judgment is hemera in the Greek, which is the word day or time. So Paul is talking about here man's day or man's time. What is man's day? Well, we're in man's day right now. This is the day when man is judging man, and man's making all the judgments. Man judging man. You hear the children, teenagers especially today, talking to each other, and they say to each other, "Are you judging me?" You hear that? How many judges do we have on TV shows now? Judge Judy, Judge Jerry, Judge Steve Harvey, Judge Wampner. It's all about judgment, isn't it? Courts. Well, man's day is today. We will have the day of Christ, which was when Christ shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. There will be some sort of a judgment there. And there's the Lord's day, which when the Lord returns, there's going to be a resurrection and judgment there. And then there's God's day, or the day of God. That'll be at the Bema judgment seat, and after that, when there's a new heaven and a new earth. So judgment is seen a lot in the Bible in the light of damnation, condemnation, punishment, wrath, accusation, all negative stuff, isn't it? And this all implies no resurrection. No resurrection. 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul says, to the saved, by the way, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, in my understanding, this was written before the mystery, before Paul was revealed the mystery of the body of Christ. So when it says all, does that mean us? Does that mean the body of Christ? In Romans 14:10, to the saved, Paul said, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the second time he said it. Does that carry over into our dispensation or not? In Hebrews 9:27 to 28, again, to the believers, Paul was saying, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Romans 5:18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteous of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So, are all men judged at birth? When we are born in Adam, or are we all judged at birth? And when we are converted again, when we believe that Christ is our Savior, or we're saved by faith through grace, is that another judgment? Are we judged again? For many, the day they die, that's their judgment day. We'll come back to that in a second. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. That is the word katakrimo. That means no judgment against resurrection to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when you are in Christ, there is no judgment against you as far as resurrection. You will have a resurrection. There's no condemnation. Condemnation just means you won't have a resurrection. Let's put it this way. Those who die in Adam, the unsaved unbeliever, has they judge themselves, because if they never believe in Christ, what is the unpardonable sin? The sin of unbelief, right? So if they never believe, they have judged themselves. Since they're condemned from birth and haven't changed anything, when they die, they have no resurrection. They don't even have any more judgment. It's done. It's over. They're judged. They just perish. And someday in the future, whatever's left of them in the grave or in ashes or outer space, wherever they are, they'll be thrown into the lake of fire. Let's take a look at a couple common verses on judgment, Revelation 20, 4 through 6. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So who are we talking about here? We're talking about the overcomers in Revelation. So my question is this a temporary judgment? Because it just says they live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. That's their reward for that, for overcoming. But the rest of the dead, the rest of the dead believers, live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. So only believers have resurrection. This is the first, it says in the King James. It means the former of two resurrections. And this was written before, again, the revelation of the mystery. So there's a revelation, there's a resurrection in there that isn't known here. So this is actually, if Christ is the first resurrection, the body of Christ is the second resurrection. This could be the third resurrection. There might be others in there, I don't know, but it could be the third resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. The second death is the lake of fire. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So this is about Israel. This is not about the body of Christ. So let's go back to what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 through 17. He said, "For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Christ will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord should not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the death in Christ shall rise first." Sounds to me like that he's talking about the overcomers. Then which Revelation was probably written before 1 Thessalonians, so Paul could have gotten some of this information from John's understanding. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be ever with the Lord." Well, this didn't happen, did it? All these people are dead. That never happened that way. But I think Paul was alluding to the overcomers, in a sense, because he's talking about the coming of the Lord, the return of Christ, and Revelation says those are the overcomers. Study that out for yourself. Think about it. Another common verse about Revelation, of course, is the white throne judgment. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. "And I saw a great white throne, and them that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and was found no place for them." So now the heaven and the earth are gone. So everybody's just kind of suspended in heaven or midair somewhere. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books." That's the books were open. That's the books of works, according to their works. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every saved man according to their works." Now again, sounds to me like this is works. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. Now here's it. Be careful with this next verse. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." They weren't resurrected with these people above here. It's just a statement that you don't raise everybody up and say, "Okay, you're in the book of life, you're not." Boom. Those people who were not in the book of life were never raised up. They were never resurrected. They were just cast in a lake of fire. So does this resurrection, does this judgment include the body of Christ? Is this where Paul says we're all going to stand in the judgment before the judgment seat of Christ? Are the overcomers also in this group here to be judged finally? Is there a chance that any overcomer might have followed Satan at the end of the millennial kingdom? I have more questions than answers. I know that. So what does it mean when Paul said, when he talks about attaining to the resurrection out from among the dead? So if we're like Paul, members of the body of Christ, are we excluded from this? Are we out from among these dead? We can have questions after I'm done, if you want. Is not God judging all the time? Psalm 7:11 says, God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. I bet he's pretty upset right now. It's getting worse. So, did God judge before the overthrow of the world? Did he make a judgment about certain people? Did he judge Satan and his angels in the past? Did he judge when he overthrew the first world? Did he judge Adam and Eve? How about the people that died in the flood? Were they judged? They judged themselves, I know that. Did he judge Abraham? He was righteous because of his faith. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. How about Pharaoh? Did judge King Saul? Did he judge David? Did he judge Solomon? Did he judge the kingdoms of Israel and Judah? All the time. There's a whole book of Judges, right? How about Mary? She was highly favored. How about Saul, Paul? How about Israel, the Judeans? At the end of Acts, were they judged? So you think God is judging all the time? Well, the good news is not all judgment is negative. Judgment can be a positive thing. I spent a couple days, this last couple weeks, at the State Fair in Indianapolis, and there is a lot of judging going on there. And a lot of ribbons handed out, a lot of trophies handed out. So judgment can be positive. You've seen the Oscars, you've seen the Emmys, you've seen the CMA Awards. You know, it's man judging man, but it's all awards, right? I used to go to awards conventions at work. Roger, you probably went to awards conventions. Awards handing out. So what about the body of Christ? What about us? First of all, I want to read Revelation 11:18. Revelation 11:18 says, "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, great and small, and shouldst destroy them which destroy the earth." But there's some positive things in there. Rewards are given out. So my thinking question, where is the judgment day of the body of Christ? Between the choosing out before the overthrow of the world, and our appearing with Christ in glory at the right hand of the Father. When I read Paul's post-Acts epistles, when I read the prison epistles, I don't read a lot about judgment in there. But I read a lot of good things. Every blessing that is spiritual, to be holy and without blame, we're adopted as sons by Jesus Christ, we're accepted in the beloved. We have redemption through his blood. We've obtained an inheritance. We're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We're quickened together with Christ. We're made to sit together in heavenly places. We're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. We're being justified by his grace, and we should be made heirs. For me to live is Christ, Paul says, and to die is gain. He's kind of looking forward to it, sounds like. Blameless sons of God without rebuke. Paul said we can attain to the out resurrection out from among the dead. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Wow. Having forgiven you all trespasses, let no man beguile you of your reward. You shall receive the reward of the inheritance. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So when you read all of that, you have to ask the question, have we already been judged? Now, you have to be very careful with that. Oscar Baker says you have to be very careful with that, because some people have gone as far as to say, well, we don't need the blood of Christ. We don't need salvation. Not so. Are we being judged right now as members of the body of Christ? Will our judgment be awards and crowns and prizes? Well, there has to be a day when those are handed out somewhere. Does it all depend on how we run the race? In Ephesians, it says, we are ordained to walk in good works. So we still have things to do. We can still be judged by some things before we die. We must walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. We must put off the old man. That's hard to do. We must put away the lie. At the conference, I talked about the words church and hell, and all these things are part of the lie. Going to church, the whole concept of church and going to church, that, you know, that's all part of the lie. We have to put that away. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. See that you walk working circumspectly. In Colossians, it says, set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Again, put off the old man and put on the new man. And putting off the old man even means, like Paul said, you know, leaving those things behind. We have to put away some of the things we were taught, some of the things we believed, some of the things we practiced. That's part of the old man. Whatsoever you do in the word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. How well am I at doing that? Continue in prayer. I don't think I pray enough. Walk in wisdom. So, whatever judgment is, it's of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it will be true and righteous. So that's the one thing I have no questions about, is that statement right there. So, I threw a lot at you there, and I hope it's some information that's edifying to you. Just some thoughts on judgment. Thank you, Lord, for your words of wisdom for us to digest today. May we go in peace and love in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.